Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I ball hard, no tennis racket. I can see these haters through my Gucci glasses. I make hits like batting practice. What? They be like, Serena, is you really rapping? That's me. Thanks for listening. Schooling these.
For this international tennis star, it's game, set, and rap. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, Serena Williams goes hip-hop. We'll hear how she stacks up. Plus, a live performance from the Icelandic singer and songwriter Olaf Arnalds. But we begin with big news from over the weekend about Serena Williams. While she was busy on the courts winning the Madrid Open, the internet was also buzzing with a clip of the tennis star rapping. She's just the latest athlete to get behind the mic, joining the ranks of boxer Manny Pacquiao, basketball great Shaquille O'Neal, even the 1985 Chicago Bears. We'll ask you to weigh in just a moment, but first, joining us for a look at what happens when athletes get into the music game is NPR sports correspondent Mike Pesca. He joins us from the NPR Bureau here in New York. Hi, Mike.
Hi, and John, I should say my album drops tomorrow, so you might want to note that, too. Not just the sports correspondent.
Uh-huh. So now, I mean, we know Serena Williams is a champion on the court. How is she in the studio?
Well, I'd probably rank her other activities, Miami Dolphins co-owner at the bottom, then actress, then rapper, and fashionista still above rapper, but still tennis player first. And Serena Williams is always going to be criticized as not living up to her potential on the court, even though she's a great player. Mm-hmm. And she has said, I don't love tennis. And perhaps fairly or unfairly, and I think it's sort of fair to say that all these side projects over the years maybe have robbed her of a couple titles. And I only say that, I mean, maybe Serena would admit that. She's famously cantankerous sometimes.
Very much her own person, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe she'd admit that, maybe she wouldn't. But when you compare it to what other tennis players say, what Martina said about, you know, having to
surrender. This is Martina Navratilova, yeah.
Right, and Pete Sampras and Rafael Nadal, and how they talk about just having tennis be their overall consuming absolute focus of their life, and that has made those players the greatest. And Serena is a great, great player. She doesn't belong in that pantheon. But, you know, the other side to that argument is, you know, Andre Agassi wrote a book about how miserable he was playing tennis. And a lot of these players have no life outside of tennis. And Serena definitely does. And rapping's a big part of it. And she sounds amateurish. But if she's having a good time, who are we to say she shouldn't keep rapping?
Well, listeners, you can hear an excerpt of Serena Williams rapping via TMZ, which broke the story this past weekend. You can check out the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. And here she is. The song doesn't even have a name yet, but it is Serena Williams, tennis champ, in the studio behind the mic.
That's me. Thanks for listening. Schooling these rappers, they should pay tuition. I make a lot of money, but that ain't your business. And you can tell the people I said this. I win. I really mean it. Swag out this world. You should call me Venus. That's my sister, my name is Serena. On the court I serve them up, no subpoena. I cook the track up like a frozen pizza. Beat so crazy it might blow your speakers. I ain't ever been a loser, and I'm always on top, roofer.
Serena Williams channeling her inner Missy Elliott there, and shouting out to her sister Venus at one point. Yeah. Mike, you said it might be amateurish, but it might actually be good for her to be getting out there and doing something more for the passion of it than as a business.
Yeah, that's true. I would, if I had one thing to tell her, I would say pizza doesn't rhyme with Serena. That would be my one. But she's not soliciting advice from me. And she doesn't care. You know, she marches to the beat, and it's a pretty decent beat, right, of her own drummer. But you're right. She has always – this has, you know, been a part of her career. And if you look at the long history of athletes who – put together music, that is a constant, that if they don't win the championship that year, someone will inevitably say, well, maybe you should spend less time rapping and more time free throw shooting in the case of someone like Shaquille O'Neal. It's good to have an outlet, and it's usually an unfair criticism.
So how long has this been going on? Who can we, at whose feet can we put this big, stinking hot pile of music.
Well, I did find a clip of Joe Louis in 1943, at least appearing in a song and dance number. I think he was helping out and didn't really have big aspirations.
Uh-huh.
You know, Muhammad Ali put some music out in the early 1960s, but it really does coincide with the rise of rap. And since rap is a producer-driven medium and also one where you don't need instrument training, I mean, that alone would have stopped most would-be athletes from putting out an album. So rap and hip-hop have, you know, that genre have fostered in some of the lamest songs you'll ever hear and some decent tries. And overall, I think there is like a cycle to assessing athletes who try to rock or rap, which is to mock it at first because it's not as good as the professionals. But then I think the most charitable way to view it is it's not a big deal. If they want to put it out there, a lot of them do it for charity. And if it doesn't distract them, then it's something we should take in stride as long as it's not an assault on our eardrums.
So if we go back to 1985 and the Chicago Bears, the Super Bowl winning Chicago Bears and the Shufflin' Crew. This is kind of an early example of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think any of these guys thought that they were going to be full-time musicians, but this was a fun song, and I know that Mike Ditka was very upset with it because it seemed like it was bragging. They were such a good team. Nothing was going to derail them, not even some of the lyrics of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Recorded by the Bears before they won the Super Bowl.
The pucky QB known as McMahon. When I hit the turf, I've got no plan. I just throw my body all over the field. I can't dance, but I can throw the field. I motivate the cats, I like to tease. I play so cool, I aim to please. That's why you all got here on the double, to catch me doing the Super Bowl Shuffle.
I'm mama's boy, Otis, wanna be kind. The ladies all learning from my body and my mind. I'm slick on the floor, as I can be. But ain't no sucker gonna get past me. Some guys are jealous of my style and class. That's why I jumped in up on that. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I'm just getting down to the Super Bowl Shuffle.
The Chicago Bears Shufflin' Crew and the Super Bowl Shuffle, 1985. Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent. We're talking about the surprisingly long history of athletes trying to make music. You used, I think, the key word setting that up for us, Mike, and that is fun. The guys were just having fun. Does that, I mean, at some point, do we need to distinguish between artists who are doing this just to kind of, you know, as a novelty to have a little fun, and guys who are like really kind of serious and think maybe I can do this too?
Yeah, you wonder. And especially, I mean, there with the Chicago Bears, Willie Gault had some flow to him. Mike Singletary didn't. Are you going to tell Mike Singletary can't rap? Right?
So, what about the fridge, William Perry?
The fridge, he's the rookie. He may be large, but he's
maybe
no
big,
dumb cookie.
But dumb cookie.
If you grew up in that era, you know every word.
Every word, yep.
Yeah. But so some of the later, if you check the lyrics of some of the later albums, you begin to wonder. Not that every song has to be a comedic song or tongue-in-cheek, but when Isaiah Ryder, for instance, is letting loose with really just angry lyrics and using the N-word left and right, you say to yourself, you know, maybe Isaiah Ryder doesn't have the mentality to be in the NBA. And guess what? Isaiah Ryder didn't have the mentality to be in the NBA. It was a little bit of a glimpse into his soul, though perhaps not the glimpse he wanted it to be.
And the NBA and hip-hop have had, that's been a long kind of love affair, you know, across the aisles or the courts or whatever. In 1994, there was this compilation called B-Ball's Best Kept Secret, which featured NBA players performing songs with hip-hop artists. What do you make of, like, Chris Mills with Something to Groove To and stuff like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I never knew this album existed, so I would call it Truth in Advertising, as it's called, B-Ball's Best Kept Secret. This weekend, I knew we were going to talk on the show. I was in Philadelphia, and I was just browsing. I was waiting for a restaurant, and some guy was selling CDs, and I saw this, and I couldn't believe it. And so I guess this was their rollout plan, you know, 17 years, 18 years later.
The real
I'd
long
get the
tail,
CD,
yeah.
And play it on WMSA, exactly, yeah. So I think that, you know, Brian Shaw's on this album. I wouldn't call it a great rap, but the content of what he's talking about, about is something maybe he wasn't comfortable talking about in other settings. It's about how a lot of his family members died in a car accident. You give him credit for that.
Yeah.
And the Jason Kidd's rap, or was really a rap to Jason Kidd, is not a bad song, although it's called What the Kid Did,
yeah.
K-I-D-D and D-I-D-D. But yeah, Chris Mills' song is really, truly horrible.
Well, let's hear some from the CD, B-Ball's Best Kept Secret, Chris Mills and that Jason Kidd song.
I'm taking this rhyme to another plateau. I don't know, but I flow like fluid. So screw it, flip it, dip it. You can pass the brew, but you know I won't sip it. I just do it like Nike. I got a deep psyche. And this track here, I like it like Mike. So let's take it to the bank. I gotta give thanks to my friends and my folks, cause without them, who knows where I'd be? I'm Chris Mills. You can't see me.
There's a little something up.
That is Jason Kidd and What the Kid Did from this 1994 compilation, B-Ball's Best Kept Secret, NBA Stars performing with hip-hop artists. We also heard Chris Mills and Something to Groove To. Mike Pesca, he flows like fluid, and I know that because he says it right in the middle of the song.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, when Jason Kidd's inducted into the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame, I just hope that's not the song they play on stage.
Listeners.
The smart strategy, the guy, Kidd, is known as an assist man, and
right.
You see that he didn't do most of the rapping, right? He let the pro rappers take it.
Listeners, what do you think of athletes getting into the music game? Do you have a favorite example? For good or for ill. You can give us a call or leave a comment on our webpage. It's wnyc.org/soundcheck, and the number is 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Mike, it's easy to find lots of athletes attempting to make music. It's hard to find someone who really does it well. Let's talk about former New York Yankee center fielder Bernie Williams. I mean, this guy was, he was serious about guitar even when he was playing baseball, wasn't he?
As most athletes will tell you, practice. It takes dedication to your craft. And when you're talking about rapping or when you're talking about, you know, cutting an album because you played, you tuned around with some guitar on the side. And if you were to ask most athletes, I think they would say, well, this is clearly my side gig because I spend, you know, 8 hours a day, or I did growing up playing baseball or football or whatever, and I just really dabble with instrumentation. Bernie Williams was the exception. He put his 10,000 hours
yep.
into both his music and his sport, and you could really hear it. I don't know if he would be booking the size concert hall that he did if he wasn't Bernie Williams, but if you go and you see Bernie Williams, and he's every year he plays the Star Spangled Banner before a Yankee game, he has a level of virtuosity that you can't question.
From his 2009 album Moving Forward, this is baseball player and guitarist Bernie Williams. That is Bernie Williams. Que Rico El Mambo is from his 2009 release, Moving Forward. When he played for the Yankees, he was sort of known to be a classical guitarist. When we actually got to hear him playing publicly, he turned out to be more of a jazz or smooth jazz kind of guitarist, but as Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent, was telling us, a guy who put in his hours and could genuinely play his instrument. We are talking about athletes making music. Easy to find, lots of guys trying to do this. Hard to find guys doing it well, and perhaps even harder, Mike, to find female athletes doing it. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's probably because of so much of the athletes who put out music is, if you examine their rap lyrics, it's the braggadocio, and I don't think a lot of female athletes have the need to do that. You know,
Serena, notwithstanding.
Yeah, Lamar Odom, who is known as a Kardashian or married to one of those people and didn't have a good year with Dallas, they released him. But it was a really good NBA player for a long time. And he was an older member of the U.S. national team. And I said, how do you, an older guy, relate to guys who are 12 years younger than you on this team? He says, we're of the same generation, and it's the hip-hop generation. Mm-hmm. I never really thought of that. But, you know, the music is really binds, especially NBA players, but a lot of players. And it's often a locker room or clubhouse distinction. Do you sit in the corner where they play hip-hop? Do you sit in the corner where they play heavy metal? Do you sit in the corner where they play country music?
And do you sit in the corner where they auto-tune everything? I mean, you talked before about how, you know, the advent of hip-hop meant you didn't need to be a serious instrumentalist to make music. With the advent of devices like auto-tune, you don't even really need to sing, to be able to sing, to make a record in which you do sing.
Right. That 1994 album, Basketball's Best Kept Secret, was pre-auto-tune. Now the floodgates are open.
And sluicing through those floodgates is tennis star Caroline Wozniacki with this little ditty called Oxygen. That is Caroline Wozniacki and Oxygen, a recent song from the tennis star. And we'll continue in a moment our conversation about athletes getting into the music game. We'll take your calls and comments as well. And then later on the show, a live performance here in the studio from Icelandic singer and songwriter Olaf Arnalds. This is Soundcheck. Breytir alltaf ljós til lifandi Dræfið upp vegur sem draumur frá óra í þess Sometimes when we touch The honesty is too much And I have to close my This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now on athletes trying to get into the music game. Joining us from New York's NPR's New York Bureau is sports correspondent Mike Pesca. And in the background is the great boxer Manny Pacquiao, who is a real Renaissance man. He's also a congressman in the Philippines. There are many who think he may be the Philippines' next president. That's obviously not enough for him. He wants to be a singer as well. This 2009 cover of the Dan Hill song, Sometimes When We Touch, even made an appearance on the Billboard charts. Mike Pesca, would you tell Manny Pacquiao he can't sing?
You know, maybe if there was a ring's worth of distance between us, but he's a pretty good closer. At least when the athletes do cover songs, they don't fall into the trap of the pun lyric, like Carolyn Wozniacki had a line in the song we just played, Boy, you're my match point.
Yeah,
that's just natural, a natural turn of phrase.
And in Pacquiao's case, I mean, kind of playing against type. I mean, this is like a kind of a schmaltzy ballad, not the kind of thing you associate with a guy who is considered by many to be pound for pound the best fighter on the planet.
Yes. Now, he's clearly an example of a guy who's having fun with it, a guy who doesn't think he's ever going to make any money post-boxing career singing a song. And I don't know if he overrates his ability. He's perhaps a decent karaoke singer, that level. And, you know, the Philippines is a huge karaoke culture, so everyone has to cut a single here or there. But he seems like he's having fun with it, and it's certainly not distracting him from his march through everyone this side of Floyd Mayweather who won't give him a fight. So there's nothing – I would say if you want to point to someone who doesn't have that much musical ability but wants to put out a little music, Pacquiao's done it exactly the right way.
All right, Soundcheck listeners, we're going to take some calls. Our number is 212-433-WNYC. Willie, on the line with us right here in New York. Hey, Willie.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. You got a favorite athlete making music?
Well, it's the worst one on record so far. It has to be Deion Sanders. Must be the money.
Now, this is a guy who was a pretty talented guy. I mean, baseball, football. What's wrong with him as a musician?
Yeah,
self-promotion.
Well, have you heard the song?
Yes, I have.
It's absolutely terrible. And I think that this is kind of a way, sort of like when actors come out with music, it's sort of their way of saying, you know what, I'm not just a pretty face. I'm more than just a ball player. I have talent. And it's like, not really.
1994, Deion Sanders cut this. Must be the money. When I signed a dotted line, it was strange. Things change for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby, must be the money. Deion Sanders, Neon Deion, back in 1994, released that song called Must Be the Money. Great example of what we're talking about on Soundcheck today. athletes, you know, trying to get into the music game. And let's take another call. James is with us from East Williston, Long Island. Hi, James.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm losing the will to live. How about you?
I love your segment. I love your show. The song that I remember the most, the artist I remember the most, is Shaquille O'Neal when he came out in like 92 or 93 with I'm Outstanding, which my college roommate thought was the death of music.
Mike Pesca, Shaq has kind of a discography to his credit, doesn't he?
A credit? Credit, John? Yeah, multiple releases. His music is as good as his film, Kazam, yeah. And without Shaq, though, would we even remember the Fushnikins? That's my question.
1993, Shaquille O'Neal, I'm Outstanding. I was born 3672, I think it's on the wisdom. Hail to the moon, just like Kuta Kin. Take, that means I'm blessed from the get-go. Moms, you never let go. Dad, thanks for raising me right, bro. He gave me confidence to stop the nonsense. Since didn't live in Bel Air like the Fresh Prince. Times are hard, times are rough. Didn't have toys or rush toys, but I had enough love. Plus the guidance from above to go to the box, sweat, push and shove. Made it in before dark, like you told me. Didn't do it a few times, the dad had to scold me. Pray for my safety. I know how you was feeling. Didn't want me reeling, no into drug dealing. Remember when you asked me this one day, who I wanna be? Like I said, Dr. J. You said good, now you gotta go. Take the damn ball and slam it through the hole. Mom cracked a smile, daddy gave a frown. I said to myself, I can't let them down. So make way, I'm coming in for a landing. Nothing's gonna stop me from being outstanding. He's outstanding. Shaquille O'Neal from 1993. And again, talking about athletes moving into the studios and behind the microphones on Soundcheck today. Dave is with us on the line from Brooklyn, and Dave has a question. Hi, Dave.
Hey, John and Mike. Good afternoon. I called to see if anyone recalls John Cena, the wrestler. His foray into rap, I think that was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Late 90s, I'm pretty sure. He made this CD, I believe it was called You Can't See Me. Something to that effect.
Right, You Can't See Me by John Cena. Yeah.
Yes, and he used that, I guess, symbiotically with his wrestling career, where he would play that CD, or someone would play when he would enter into to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And he used his own music to promote his sport.
Right.
You know, any other parallels?
Really, really interesting question, Dave. I mean, Mike, this gets us not into just like fake music, but fake sports as well. John Cena,
right.
The professional wrestler.
Right. And of course, wrestling has this tradition. They put out a wrestler album where, in a We Are the World style, the wrestlers covered Land of a Thousand Dances. But instead of dances, the different wrestlers would name their moves. So Junkyard Dog would, I don't know what the Junkyard Dog's move, but he had a bar in the song.
You already know way more about this than you should, Mike.
Yeah, so John, to be a wrestler is to be a showman, is to be a promoter, and it's all part of a piece. And that album, by the way, debuted at number 15 on the Billboard 200.
The John Cena record?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Reed topped that. He had a number one country hit back in 1991, former football player for the Cincinnati Bengals, and actually won a Best New Country Song Grammy in 1984. For co-writing the song Stranger in My House with Ronnie Millsap, performed by Ronnie Millsap. So it can be done, Mike. It is possible to do it and to do it right.
Yeah, and we also didn't mention Waymon Tisdale, who's an accomplished, the late Waymon Tisdale, who is an accomplished, he's in sort of that Bernie category of smooth jazz. He played bass.
Right.
And from reading about him, we talk about the 10,000 hours, he never liked basketball as a kid. He was much more into music. So there's got to be Barry Zito's another guy who's never put out an album, the pitcher Barry Zito. But, you know, his dad was a famous arranger for a lot of bands, and he and his whole family have a lot of musical talent. And I have a feeling that when the former Cy Young Award winner hangs it up, he'll grace us with some musical charms.
All right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Waymon Tisdale because Darlene was calling in from Brooklyn to mention him. Daryl is calling in from Manhattan to mention Paul Robeson, who, lest we forget, the great singer, was an All-American football player in college.
Yeah, he was a Rutgers great, and he was from people who, you know, they didn't keep statistics, but they say he was literally the best college football player of the first, you know, 20 years of the 1900s.
We've been speaking with Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent from the NPR Bureau here in New York. Mike, good talking to you again.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
This is Soundcheck, and this, in the background, is Denny McClain, a pitcher for the Tigers, among others, last pitcher to win more than 30 games in a season. And in 1968, he sat down at the organ to play extra innings. McClain at the organ. Coming up next, fans of Icelandic music, stay tuned because in a moment you'll hear singer and songwriter Olaf Arnalds. Her newest release is an EP that puts a Scandinavian spin on tunes from Bruce Springsteen and Neil Young. She'll perform some live new songs for us. And then we've got news about the Icelandic band Sigur Rós. So do stay with us. This is Soundcheck.